This is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Hello, I'm John Haynes from the Bethel Baptist Church. James Crace is the pastor, and it's my privilege to give you a message out of the Word of God. And if you'll turn to Matthew 22, if you have your Bibles there. In this trying times, people can really get upset with one another and get impatient with one another. So I thought I'd bring a message on love. But if you listened to my message last time, I mentioned love. We talked about love from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. And I mentioned that love was not just a warm, fuzzy, emotional kind of gushy feeling that we have toward one another. But it's an action word. It's something that you do. It is a behavior that you have. It's a mindset that you have. And I thought we would look at the Bible and see more exactly what the Bible says about love, since we are admonished to love one another. But in Matthew 22, verse 36, a man, a lawyer, somebody that was very, very smart, came to Jesus. Matthew 22, 36 says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, the Jews had picked out 613 different laws in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible, books of Moses. And of all those, that would be a good question. Which one's the best? Which one's the greatest? Which one should I spend the most energy trying to do and obey? So this is a good question. Which commandment is the best or the greatest or the great? And Jesus answered him, said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Above all things, we love God. We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, all our inner being, we love God. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And as I said, this love is not this warm, emotional kind of love. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But the second commandment here, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. All of the God's dealings with us, all of God's commandments, all of the things that please God is based on love. And that's why it's so important to really know what love is and what the Bible says about love, just not what the 21st century papers and magazines and TVs says about love, but what does the Bible say about love? So it is important. By the way, these two commandments that Jesus mentions here, we find those in Deuteronomy 6 and then also in Leviticus 19. The first one's in Deuteronomy 6, where it says we're supposed to love God. And then Leviticus 19:18 says that we are to love our neighbor. So Jesus picks out two of the commandments and says this is the basis for all of the commandments. It's based on love. So if you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is actually known as the love chapter. And if you go to very many weddings, you'll probably hear this chapter read, or they'll print it in the bulletin, the little flyer that they give you sometimes. It might actually be on your wedding invitation that they send to you. So 1 Corinthians 13, I thought maybe we'd go and look at what God's definition of love is. And again, when we read this chapter, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but first 7 or 8 verses, notice that nowhere in here does it talk anything about emotions of having an affinity for somebody and having this kind of close connection with somebody. Everything that is mentioned here in the love chapter is an action that you do or an attitude that you have. None of it's this emotional kind of connection that you have with another person. So if you're going to love your neighbor, you need to know what that means. And of course, like I said, we should let the Bible tell us what this means. So in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul, that wrote this, he first starts off telling us how great love is. You know, if we had written the Bible, we human beings, we'd probably come up with a lot of different stuff than what the Bible actually says. We'd say it somehow differently than the way God said it. And that's the reason why we know that it is divinely inspired by God, is that human beings did actually pen the words, but it's not what human beings would say. If we were talking about love, we'd come up with a different list. If we were talking about which item is more important than something else, well, we might say, like right now, preaching. Preaching is more important than love, maybe. Giving money to the church, being at church, providing for your family, going to work. Those things you might think are more important than love or more important than other things. Well, Paul sort of puts the brakes on that kind of thoughts here in the first several verses of this 1 Corinthians 13. He says, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, this could be reference to the speaking of tongues or speaking in tongues. This could also mean speaking many, many different languages, to be able to speak to different groups. What preacher wouldn't like to speak 25 different languages so that they could go to this group and speak and this group and speak and speak in this language? And I mean, you know, there's no barrier that way if you've got 25 languages at your disposal. Most of us, we don't know that many languages. So, you know, we're sort of limited in who we can talk to. But he says, even if I spoke with the tongues of men, meaning all the languages that are out there, and he also includes the tongues of angels. Now, that's sort of interesting. I don't know what kind of tongue that is, but if he spoke with earthly tongues and heavenly tongues, and have not charity or love, and become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. So having love, having charity, is more important than speaking 25 different languages and being able to speak the languages of angels. We talk about the language of angels. Well, no, love. And you notice how the King James Version here at our church, our pastor has recommended that we use the King James Version, and I do too. I think that is the one that we ought to use. You notice it doesn't say love, but it says charity. Now, it's the same word, so why did the King James translators put in the word charity instead of love? Well, again, because love is sometimes construed as an emotional kind of something, and the Greeks had other words, other Greek words that meant that kind of love. But no, this word is the word that would mean an action. That's something that you do. And when we think of charity, especially in the 21st century, we do think of something that you do. That's having charity. So the King James Version, once again, is the best version. The word usage, the word choice here fits very appropriately the biblical idea of what love is. It's an action. It's something you do, not just some feeling that you have. So the Bible, again, is very clear that it's charity here. But speaking in tongues, or speaking with all kinds of languages, love is better than that. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy. Now the prophecy, he's not talking about being able to foretell the future. That's not the gift of prophecy. Now the gift of prophecy is the gift of preaching and teaching and giving out the word of God, being able to expound the word of God. So he says, if I have that gift, the gift of speaking, and understand all mysteries. And you can go through the New Testament and pick out the mysteries that Paul talks about all the time that God has given us some understanding of. And not only understand all mysteries, but if I have all knowledge. Now, you would think these are good things. Being able to preach the word, being able to understand some of the intricacies that God has set up in his word, some of the doctrines that God has set up, understanding all of this and knowing this, this would be a good thing. But Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, no, love is better than that too. So he says, though I have all the gift of prophecy and the understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. Now, most of us, if we weren't schooled in the Bible and we didn't know that these verses were here, and the last verse we're going to get to, verse 13, where it actually does say that love is the greatest, we would probably put faith above love. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved. You're not going to get to heaven unless you have faith. But he says, if I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Once again, the actions that we do for our fellow man and the actions that we do for God are greater than faith, greater than prophecy, greater than understanding all mysteries, greater than all knowledge. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. That's what the Bible says. So, love is greater than that. He goes on to say in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, how many organizations are there in the world today that is their number one goal is to feed the poor, to clothe the poor, to build houses for the poor? And those are all worthy things. Good. Go ahead and do it. The poor need help. Go ahead and take that. But he says, if I bestow all my goods, if I sell everything I have and give everything I have to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, this is, as a martyr, as a missionary to some, you die because of your missionary efforts, because you're wanting to help somebody and they don't understand that you're trying to help them. And you end up dying because of this. If I do all of this and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Again, charity is better than those things. So right away, Paul doesn't leave any doubt in our mind that he has picked out certain things, preaching, speaking in many languages, giving money to the poor, feeding the poor, doing all these other things, love is still greater. So then he goes on and he sort of tells us what love is. And like I said, notice that none of these attributes of love, none of these definitions of love is an emotional kind of attachment to another person. These are all either actions or their attitudes that we have. So, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Now, if you would say that love means that you put up with somebody and you suffer long, that wouldn't fit our 21st century definition of what love is. You ask somebody on the street, what is love? They wouldn't say, well, you suffer long, you put up with somebody. They used to have the saying back in the olden days that somebody would say, well, can I do this? Could you let me do this? And you say, well, I can't suffer that. Meaning I can't allow that. I can't put up with that. We sort of don't use it in that way anymore. But that's what he's saying when he says suffereth long. Love will put up with things. Now, this is an action. You're putting up with something that you don't think is right. Something that's not pleasing to you, but you put up with it anyway. You go along with it anyway. So that's suffering long, and not just suffer for a while, not just put up with it for a while, but you do it for a long time. You keep on putting up with it. You keep on waiting. That's what love does. It gives you that attitude in your mind that I'm going to keep thinking about this, I'm going to keep putting up with this, I'm going to keep loving this person, and even if it never comes about. So, suffereth long, and love, charity, is kind. And like I said when I started out, in these days and times of people, you know, being cooped up in their houses and being not being able to do what they want to do, we need to be kind one to another. And again, this sort of goes along with suffering long, putting up with each other, being nice to each other, being civil to one another. That's, again, an action that you do. It's an attitude that you have toward other people. So you are kind. He goes on to say, charity envieth not. Jealousy is one of those things that will get you. I mean, each one of these things we could preach a whole sermon on, but we won't. We're going to hit them all today. But yeah, envy and jealousy. Those are two things that will really get you. They'll make you sour and bitter. They're bad things. But love, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to envy that person. You're not going to look at that person and say, well, why did they get that? I deserve that. I need to be there. What are they doing? You know, why are they allowed to do this? Why are they over there? They shouldn't be doing that. I should do that. So love, again, that's an emotion that you have. It's a feeling that you have, not the kind of emotion and feeling that most people think of what love is, but it's an emotion and feeling that you subjugate your desire for revenge or your desire to be made equal and everything needs to be fair. Well, jealousy is out the window. True love, you don't have jealousy. You don't envy somebody else. Also, charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. These two things are really interesting because charity, love, does not vaunt itself. You know, even if you are somebody and you do have a certain reputation or certain rights, if you love other people, you won't use that to lord it over other people. You won't say, well, here I am, now we can get started. No, I just walked into the building, so now everybody take a look at me because I'm important. Everybody should wait for me and everything revolves around me. Well, that's not what love is. Love thinks about other people. Love does not puff up itself. Does not boast about what they can do or who they are or things like that. So that, again, is love. Some of these things sort of, you would think of these things as like normal things if you have the idea that we're all human beings. When you compare a human being with a human being, we start seeing all these different levels of abilities, of different talents, of all these kind of things. But when you compare all human beings as a group against God, if you compare all human beings as a group against Jesus as the perfect example, I don't care what human being you pick out, they're going to fall far short of that perfect example. So yeah, when you compare yourself with another worm of the dust, Brother Joe would say a lot of times, you might look pretty good. But when you compare yourself with Jesus or with God, you're not going to look very good. You're another worm of the dust. So we're all worms of the dust. And if you have a true love, if you truly care for other people, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't pump yourself up. You won't have to puff yourself up, like it says here. Verse 5, he goes on to say, doth not behave itself unseemly. This is one of those things that In today's society, people are just rough. People just don't care anymore about what is appropriate. And that's what it means when it says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly would mean inappropriate, not in the correct social graces, being out of bounds on how you say things or how you act. There is a certain decorum that society has standardized, that we don't say certain things in mixed company. We shouldn't do this in public. We shouldn't talk about this subject or whatever, you know, things like that. And if you care for your neighbor as you do yourself, you will not be inappropriate. There's a lot of people that have trouble with that. They don't have a filter. They just say whatever they want to say. They say whatever pops into their mind. They do whatever. They cease to realize that there's an imaginary bubble around people. You can only get so close, and I'm not talking about the virus now, you know, because of germs. But you know, there is a certain decorum of how close you get to a person. You know, especially if it's a mixed gender, there's a certain amount of closeness that you should have for certain people. And some people haven't learned the correct way of acting around other people. But that's what Paul is saying here, is that love, if you truly care for somebody, you won't act inappropriately around them. You won't make them feel uncomfortable. And you need to, you know, to be able to check yourself on things like this, you need to be aware of other people's reactions. If you're really watching people closely, you can see if you're standing too close to somebody. If you say certain words or tell certain jokes, you can see by somebody's reaction whether that just, you know, they might sort of smile at it, but you can sort of see that it's sort of, that's not the way they would talk. They don't appreciate that kind of humor. So change your attitude, change your actions. And that's what he's saying. Don't act unseemly around people, inappropriately around people, if you care for them. If you care for them. Also, love seeketh not her own. Again, this is the idea that you're caring more for the other people than for your own rights. You have a right to do something, but love will say, okay, I'm going to subjugate my right, and I'm going to think of your rights first. I'm going to think of others first. Goes on to say, love is not easily provoked. Now again, you notice that none of these talk about the emotional kind of connection the way 21st century talks about love. All of these are attitudes and interpersonal relationships. This is what we're talking about. And this is what the Bible means when it says love your neighbor. It means all of these things. Not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. You know, there's a lot of people that whenever something happens, they instantly take it bad. They instantly take it evil. Somebody says something, and you could take it two different ways. A lot of people instantly think of it, oh, well, they meant to hurt me. They said that as a little dig. You know, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't think that, oh, that person's got an evil intent. No, we don't think of it as evil. If that person has some problem saying things that are unseemly, that's their problem that they do. But we don't feel it as an attack toward us. We don't take it personally. And that's what he's saying, that we think no evil. That's not the first place we go to. When we hear something, somebody did this, somebody said this, the first place we go to is not, well, they did it because this. They did it for an evil intent. No, love thinks no evil about another person in that way. And then it goes on to say, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And I think maybe what he's saying here in verse 6 is sort of that we don't rejoice in iniquity, meaning we're not, I think maybe two things. One is we're not happy when bad things happen to other people. You know, we're not there for revenge. We don't get all giddy because, well, they deserved it. You know, they're a bad person and it couldn't happen to a nicer person. We're glad it happened to them. No, we don't rejoice in iniquity. We don't rejoice in bad things happen. And then also we don't rejoice in people doing bad things. People do bad things, you know, well, the end result might have ended up being good, but, you know, the means does not justify the ends. The ends does not justify the means, I should say. So we do not rejoice in iniquity if you love your neighbor as yourself. We rejoice in the truth, in justice, people getting what they truly deserve. We don't want to see anybody messed over and not get what they justly deserve. Verse 7 goes on to say, love beareth all things, and believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Like I said, each one of these could be elaborated on and preached on a lot more. But you see how love puts up with other people. Now, if every saved person would take this to heart, churches would be a lot nicer places to go. Brothers and sisters in Christ would get along a lot nicer because everybody would be striving to do all of these things, to bear with one another, not to think evil of one another, not to think that you're out, somebody's out to get you, or they're not puff up yourself against each other. So love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things.